synagogue in the New York City erupted into chaos over the discovery of a secret underground tunnel. Jewish synagogue members clashed with the New York Police Department to prevent the tunnel from being sealed off. Well, construction workers arrived on Monday to fill an illegal tunnel at the headquarters. The address is also known as number 770 in the Crown Heights neighborhood. Young Orthodox Jewish men climbed into the path to block the closure of the tunnel. The tunnel reportedly runs from the main synagogue to a now closed building next door. The motive behind its existence remains unclear as of now. It is also not known why the synagogue members reacted so chaotically to the arrivals of the authorities. Now, first reports of the tunnel surfaced in late 2023 after a resident complained about suspicious noises in his neighborhood for some time. The tunnel was reportedly dug during nights for some time. The unexpected discovery of the tunnel has raised concerns about the intent behind it as well as the stability of the building. In reacting to the incident, the World Headquarters has expressed at the vandalism by what it called a group of young agitators. The statement says that the actions will be probed and the sanctity of the synagogue will be restored. The New York police has arrested 10 people over claims that a demonstrator tried to pepper spray an officer there.
So yeah, funny how things have a way of revealing themselves, isn't it? Remember I said to you once, or actually I've said it many times, is that with Israel, every accusation is actually a confession. And yeah, what have we heard for the last 3 months? Oh my God, Hamas have got tunnels everywhere. Well, I don't think Hamas built these tunnels under New York. And the excuses that they're giving, oh, we did it because we're trying to extend the property. Extend the property by building underground tunnels leading to mitzvahs, like bathhouses. And we know how prolific child rape is among the Jewish community. There's a lot of it. There was a report that came out back in 2013 that a lot of people have been touching on. I wasn't aware of it until it got sent to me, but I think a few people have touched on it, where it basically talks about a child rape assembly line, how this goes on, and it's been going on for ages and decades and what, forever, and that they rape a lot of children, mainly boys, and well over 50% of the Jewish community does this. Well over 50% of boys are raped. Well over 50%. How much is that? What, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%? Just not 100%. Wouldn't surprise me if it was. But this article came out like in 2013 that talked about all this. And you've got to wonder just how prolific this is throughout the Jewish community. But finding these tunnels under New York, and really bizarre, folks, it's so difficult to find out what's going on with them. I mean, they found them actually in December last year, they found these tunnels. They didn't do anything about it, and how we even know about it now is because apparently the police arrived a couple of days ago with a concrete truck to fill them all in. And that's when everything happened, a riot ensued in the Chabad headquarters. And this is Chabad headquarters in New York. This is like world headquarters of the Chabad Lubavitch movement. You know, and this is just another, you know, denomination of Judaism. They have all these different denominations, you know, like Chabad and Ashkenazi and whatever, you know. It's like Presbyterian, Anglican, Catholic with the Christian religion. There's all these different denominations of Judaism as well. And none of them really get along with each other. But these Chabad people are really strange, like the traditional ultra-Orthodox Jews. They wear the black coats and big hats and all this sort of stuff. A lot of them speak out against Zionism, which is interesting, because we see all the bad stuff that's going on in the world and we blame Zionism. It's not all the Jews, it's Zionism. And of course it's not all the Jews. I mean, there's still a lot of Jews that speak out against this. Look at John Pilger's film that he put out like in 1977, and then he wrote a book, I think, 20 years ago, and it was called Palestine is Still the Issue. And there were a lot of Jews in that film that spoke out about what was going on in Gaza, how they didn't support Israel's actions against Palestine. So it's not all of them.
From Israel.
Oh, Israel.
Viva Israel.
What do you guys think about Palestine?
Palestine, it's good.
Palestine is good?
Yeah,
okay.
We're good with them.
Okay.
Just, you know, all, want
the
them to have...
all the world, it's good.
Yeah, okay. We want them to have a country, and we will have our country.
Peace and love.
We want peace for the children.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah.
For a good life, for everybody.
Yes.
Even it
the
doesn't
Palestine
matter.
And the Israel.
Your religion, your country, it doesn't matter. You must to be a good man. And peace is good for all the world.
Yeah.
So how do you get them to stop killing people? People dying?
That's because
the
of the politics.
And then have
the
peace.
Politics is the...
Politics is crazy, you know?
We love each other. The people love each other.
I'm from Lebanon.
Ah, Lebanon is good. I like it.
Just the politics.
Politics I not like. The only the people. You good.
Peace in the Middle East, right?
Yes.
Thank starting
you.
Today, day one.
But then, you know, you've got to wonder what they're involved in anyway. But the interesting thing is that these Chabad Jews, these traditional Orthodox Jews, really speak out against Zionism all the time. And yet here we have this underground tunnel system leading to a mitzvah. They claim they did because they wanted to extend their property. Extend the property, ridiculous. I mean, why didn't you build a basement? Why didn't you buy the building next door? I mean, you're Jews, you could buy the whole bloody block. The most ridiculous excuse. They kind of went rabid when the police came and they, kind of a riot broke out. These people go kind of rabid. It's really weird. But, they didn't react the way you would normally react. I mean, they weren't just sort of concerned the police were there. They just started climbing over things and destroying things, and it was crazy. Yeah, it's like they kind of feel that they're above everybody else and they can just do this shit and the police have got no right to be there and blah, blah, blah. Apparently there were 10 arrests and stuff. But some of the stuff that they found in these tunnels, stained mattresses, high chairs, lots of children-looking stuff down below there. High chairs, car seats, you know, baby car seats, tunnels going off in all sorts of directions. I mean, crazy stuff. Really crazy stuff. And like I said, these are traditional Jews. They're always speaking out against Zionism, and yet this is what they're doing in their spare time. That's a little disturbing. So how is Zionism the problem and not Judaism? It's an issue. I mean, when you see these people who've been speaking out for Palestine and speaking out against Zionism, well, they've got a secret tunnel network below New York. Pretty crazy shit, folks. But like I said, they found this in December last year, and the only reason we know about it now is because they went there to destroy it. Why did they want to destroy it? What's going on there? Why didn't they want to investigate what's going on there? This palm tree. Palm tree is kind of bizarre, folks. Everything's bent at weird angles since the hurricane. Everything looks a little bit strange. But yeah, why did they want to fill it in so quickly? Why didn't they want to investigate what's going on there? I mean, wouldn't you want to do that? They just went there with a concrete truck to fill it in. Wouldn't you want to go and see where the tunnels lead? See what's down there? I mean, isn't this a crime scene? Even if it's a crime scene as much as it's against the law to build illegal tunnels, it's against the law to build tunnels that aren't approved by the council or whatever. I mean, I'm sure you're not allowed to just dig tunnels around the place. So isn't this a crime scene? Why are they so quick to destroy it? And there's a lot of weird stuff going on. I mean, remember I told you a couple of weeks ago that 2024 is going to be a crazy year. Things are going to go dystopian to the next level. And look what we've seen just in the first... I mean, we're only 10 days into the year. We've seen this whole tunnel system exposed. Aliens in the mall in Miami, we're told. What was that all about? You know, some weird event happened in a mall in Miami. We get a couple of really suspect, shady-looking pictures of what were... supposed to believe are 8 to 10 foot tall aliens. There's rumors that someone opened a portal and some creatures came through, and you get this black and white video of some portal opening. Don't know how true it is, of course. Very strange stuff. No cell phone footage of any aliens. You'd think with all of this talk and all these people there and all of this stuff going on, there'd be some cell phone footage. There is talk that I heard from someone that apparently when the portal was opened, it created an electromagnetic field and everybody's cell phones were scrambled, and that's why there's no footage. Really bizarre stuff, folks. And you get like 100-150 cop cars show up at this place. The media story tells us that it was a bunch of kids fighting, like letting off fireworks, like 20 or 30 kids, teenagers fighting and letting off fireworks. When you have 150 cop cars show up? Crazy shit, folks. Here in Mexico, we've had three politicians murdered in the first week of January. People who were sitting for regional offices or thinking of sitting for regional offices all got murdered. An interesting thing as well, we've got an election this year in Mexico. Election this year in the United States as well. So, of course, it's going to be a crazy year. It's an election year. But the Prime Minister of Mexico, AMLO, I think his name is this will be his last term. And we've got an election this year. The main forerunner for the election is a Jewish woman. Of course. A Jewish woman being elected as president of Mexico. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Right, while all these underground tunnels are being revealed, aliens are showing up in Miami, if you believe that. Three guys get murdered in the first week of January in 2024 here in Mexico, three politicians. It's just crazy, folks. Also in Australia, crazy stuff in Australia, floods and fires and all sorts of shit. All of the old area where I live in Australia is all flooded out and people are in a terrible state down there. I think I mentioned to you on my last video that my landlord hasn't had electricity for a week. He's had no internet for 2 months at the house I used to live in Australia. Crazy stuff. We just still don't have a phone line on at my house here in Mexico either, but we're hopefully getting that worked on this week. You never know. This week's almost over, so I'll believe it when I see it. But something else in Australia, there's been, I got a report from a friend, that there's been some weird stuff going on in Papua New Guinea. New laws have been brought in Papua New Guinea, whereby you won't be charging people who smash stuff up, basically, with what's been going on in the United States. You know, I've shown you videos, and I'm sure you've seen them yourself, of people just going into stores and just trashing the stores. Well, they're able to do this in Papua New Guinea now as well. Cops aren't picking people up if they smash shit up. And there's been some sort of a, and that's in Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea, and there's been some sort of a military deal, arrangement, contract, treaty, signed with the Australian government and the government of Papua New Guinea that was just signed like last week. And then these laws come in where you're able to trash everything. There seems to be every indication that they're going to allow Papua New Guinea to deteriorate and become kind of ungovernable, and then they're going to walk in and save the day. We might see a forerunner to the police state that they want Australia to become. They might set up their police state grid in Papua New Guinea as kind of a test place. Okay, once that works, then we can bring it across to Darwin, which is already a smart city. Darwin's had Chinese surveillance in it for the last 5 years, folks, maybe even 6 years. They've had the whole system that's in place in China, where they sort of track and trace everything you do, that's been in place in Darwin for the last 5 or 6 years. They just didn't tell anybody about it. They just put it in there, all this Chinese style surveillance, and they didn't tell anybody they were doing it. They just did it. So now they're doing all this stuff in Port Moresby, allowing that to deteriorate, allowing people to just go and trash stuff and things to get out of control, while they're signing some sort of a military treaty with Australia. And you can see where it's all going, folks. I would say they're going to trial their police state in Port Moresby and just see where it goes from there. And then they can bring it across, like I said, to Darwin. Then they'll take it across to Cairns, Townsville. They'll bring it down the coast all the way. It's a nice looking little set of shelves, isn't it? I love this sort of stuff in Mexico, folks. Everything is so artistic in Mexico. So rustic, but artistic at the same time, you know? Interesting little structure here. Interesting set of shelves. Look nice in the house, that one. But yeah, so crazy stuff. Really, really crazy week. And these tunnels in New York, it shows you what we're dealing with these people, folks. Got to get these people out of control of society. I mean, we really do. You can understand why these people got kicked out of 109 countries 1,030 times. All the shit that they've done and all the shit they continue to do. And then they play victim whenever they do it. Like what's going on in Gaza, which is still ongoing. And I don't want to get stuck on Gaza because it's just still ongoing. And it's going to go on for another year, folks. They're eliminating all safe places in Gaza. There's just nowhere for the people to go at all. Everywhere they tell you is safe, they end up going and bombing it.
In this video, together, we're going to try to find these safe places in Gaza. For the past 2 weeks, Israel has been bombing us nonstop. The 2.2 million people living in the 365 square kilometer Gaza Strip are not safe anywhere. Israeli warships, warplanes, and artillery have been continuously bombing Beit Lahia, Beit Hanun, Jabalia, Gaza City, Brij, Zawaida, Maghazi, Nsirat, Deir al-Balah, Khan Yunus, and Rafah. So maybe it's not about the area you're staying at, but the place. Again, Israeli forces bombed a hospital a few days ago, killing hundreds of patients and doctors and civilians who thought the hospital is going to be a safe shelter. Ironically, the Baptist hospital was older than the state of Israel. It was built over 100 years ago. So this means we need to stay away from places that they have already targeted, meaning hospitals, schools, universities, libraries, bakeries, shops, supermarkets, cafes, mosques, churches, civilians' houses, residential towers that were leveled to the ground, entire neighborhoods that were wiped off from the face of earth. Now, have you located the safe places in Gaza?
Yeah, I mean, and she's totally right. That's what they're doing. I mean, they told everyone to go to Khan Yunus. You'll be safe in Khan Yunus. Well, here's Khan Yunus. Yeah, and the place is trashed. The place is just completely trashed. There's broken and demolished buildings everywhere. And they're destroying every building. I mean, I've said before, they intend to level the whole place. What they're going along when they find a place like this neighborhood that's completely trashed, they go along there, they put charges in all the buildings, and they just blow the whole neighborhood up.
ועבדנו שבועיים, עבדנו קשה, שהצטענו את כל הכפר, עבדנו במשימה, בכבוד, בגאווה, בשם כל המשרד, זכות ענקית, תראו את כל הארץ, תראו מה אחים, איזה מטורף. תודה ג' גדחן קומנדו, 8219, שפעולה.
Yeah, under the guise of destroying Hamas tunnels. They do this, they, you know, blow these neighborhoods up like that, and they say, oh, we've just destroyed a tunnel network. No, you haven't. You've just put charges through houses, and you've blown a whole neighborhood up because that's what you intend to do. That's why the war is going to take a year, because they're going through and they're leveling everything from the north to the south. While they keep telling people to go south and claiming they're bringing aid trucks in and all the shit they're doing, they're not. The people in Gaza are starving, folks. Oh, we're bringing aid trucks in, but Hamas is hijacking them all. No, it's bullshit. Everything they're telling you is bullshit. Are we going to do it? We're going to keep doing it until they let the hostages go. I guarantee there's no hostages left. They bombed them all, if they were there at all to begin with. There was some picture that came out the other day. It showed 6 women or 8 women or something. Oh, these are all trapped by Hamas. We've got pictures of them. They sent us photos. Why would Hamas send you photos like this? It just works against them. Find out one of these women is actually was photographed partying about 2 weeks ago. So she's not a hostage at all. These probably aren't even hostages. These are just people from the IDF that they've sat down and done little makeup jobs on. And they're faking the whole thing, you know. Hostages and all this sort of bullshit. They're not faking the killing, not faking the destruction, but they're faking all the claims of Hamas terrorism, because it isn't true. And you're not going to defeat it by killing all of Hamas anyway, because Hamas isn't a group of people. Hamas is an ideology. It's an ideology that seeks to end the occupation, which is the reason for all this stuff happening.
المرة مطخة
I mean, Israel can claim that Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th all they want. No, it was a response. I think the whole thing was staged. I think Israel definitely had a hand in what happened. But Hamas has never attacked Israel. Israel has been attacking Palestine for the last 75 years. They're an occupying force. People don't attack an occupying force. They defend against an occupying force. And Gaza, which I've said many times, 75% of the population are under the age of 17. They don't have an army. They don't have an air force. They don't have bombs. They don't have tanks. They don't have rockets. They don't have any of this shit. So it's not a war. It's a genocide. It's ethnic cleansing, and it's just going on and on and on. And they plan to keep it going. They've got drones overhead all the time now as well. They're just not letting the people sleep or have any relaxation or respite from what's going on at all. Well, they don't have any peace at all, the people in Gaza, folks.
It's, the drones are so close. The sound is annoying. I don't know if you are hearing the sounds, right? Yes, it is annoying. Can you imagine that we sleep and wake up with the sound? Can no one destroy the drones? No, because it's not one drone. A lot of drones, and they are not that close, you know? And it's dangerous. I mean, can you just stand in front of a killer, a serial killer, carrying a gun, and try to throw him with a stone? You can't, because the gun will kill you and your stone, right? So no one can do anything for these drones. We just say hi, please. Oh my God. We are in a nightmare, wallahi, we are in a nightmare. These drones do not stop day and night.
Yeah, they don't have any peace at all, folks, the people in Gaza. This is psychological terrorism. And just making sure they can't sleep, it's just constant drone sounds above them. And I mean, I was in Gaza in 2012, and it wasn't that bad. The drones were not overhead all the time. I mean, there were drones. There were missile strikes while I was there. There were random bombings while I was there. Yeah, Israel warplane would just fly over and drop a bomb at my house. Just for the sake of it. They sounded really wild, these bombs, when they went off as well. Like some of the rockets they send in there have got a really particularly eerie sound as they fly in. And I heard a lot of that while I was there. I had three or four nights there were bombing raids. I was there for 10 days. And it's a complicated issue, folks. But like I said, I don't want to dwell on Gaza. But there's been so much stuff going on, and like I said, we're only 10 days into the new year. Of course, a lot of it, I suppose, is to detract from the whole Epstein client list, which has come out, which again is theatre, because it doesn't matter, all these names are on this list, you're not going to see any of them arrested. They'll probably, you know, hound after Prince Andrew and a couple of more well-known people, maybe Kevin Spacey or something like that. But most of it isn't going to mean anything. A lot of the names were redacted anyway. We're not going to see Hillary Clinton go down. We're not going to see Bill Clinton go down. We're not going to see any of the major players get arrested and go down. And a lot of it is just a distraction. I mean, they're just hitting us with everything they can, all at the one time. You know, the Epstein client list, the war in Gaza, the war in Ukraine, aliens in the mall, the tunnel system below New York. And I question again why that took until now for us to hear about it. If they discovered it in December, what made them go in there now and decide to fill it in? And why would they want to fill it in? Why wouldn't they simply go in there and investigate what's going on? I mean, there's some pretty bizarre evidence in there, folks. Like I said, you know, high chairs, you know, some of the stuff that they have found in there definitely looks like there's been children go through there. And apparently they were hiding the dirt. They were constructing the tunnels and pulling the dirt out and hiding the dirt. That's kind of bizarre, folks. Let's say, what do they call it? The galactic butterfly, that sign. That's actually the In Lakesh handshake, if you can see how that works. That's the In Lakesh handshake. Maybe I'll show it to you one day when I've got another hand here and I can shake it and show you. But it's interesting. It's a Mayan symbol that they've got on the wall there. But all this stuff that they've been bombarding us with, I mean, it's going to be a crazy year, folks. It's going to be a really, really crazy year. Perhaps this is the year we will see a worldwide awakening. Perhaps this is the year we will get to take the world back. Because they're failing. They're failing miserably, folks. There was even a speaker at the World Economic Forum the other day who's basically saying, look, all the leaders are on board. We've done really well in getting all the world leaders on board. But the level of compliance from the people is at an all-time low. And we might be winning with the leaders, but we're failing with the people.
The good news is the elite across the world trust each other more and more. So we can come together and design and do beautiful things together. The bad news is that in every single country they were polling, the majority of people trusted that elite less. So we can lead, but if people aren't following, we're not going to get to where we want to go.
Apparently Macron has gone from France as well, folks. He's not in power anymore. They've got a new openly gay prime minister in France. Just what you want. So they're really hitting us with everything, folks, everything that they can. And like I said, this child rape assembly line is kind of bizarre. Remember as well, there was a chop shop. This was back, I think in 2019. They found a chop shop in Phoenix, Arizona, body parts. It's supposed to be a biology center or something. And it's ended up being a chop shop. I mean, it's like a Frankenstein studio. They found all sorts of weird shit in there. All sorts of weird body parts and heads sewn onto bodies and all sorts of really bizarre stuff going on in this place in Phoenix, Arizona.
First at 10, it's been more than 5 years since ABC 15 first exposed a scandal involving a body donation business in Phoenix.
A place known as the Biological Resource Center and a place with one promise.
Connects those who wish to donate their body to science with medical research and education facilities.
Turns out the donation was just the beginning.
The owner accused of selling bodies and body parts, a trial set to begin in just months. And tonight, new grisly details of what the FBI says really happened.
ABC 15's Nicole Valdez is live. And Nicole, this paints a Frankenstein-like picture.
Yeah, it really does. Katie and Steve, closed for years, this building off 24th Street and University doesn't look like much. But according to new claims in these court documents, the Biological Resource Center was essentially running a chop shop for human body parts, mixing, matching, and selling them in ways we'd never heard of until tonight.
Described as unsettling, but it sounds a whole lot worse. One FBI agent revealing what it was really like inside the Phoenix body donation facility. In 2014, he saw everything from buckets of heads, arms, and legs to coolers filled with severed penises when the FBI raided the building.
Confused and angry. We thought this was going to be doing some good.
He even spotted a smaller head sewn onto a larger torso in a, quote, Frankenstein manner. Body parts piled on top of each other inside Biological Resource Center, where families donated their loved ones for medical research.
And you've got to kind of wonder whether that's related to any of this stuff as well. I mean, you know, I think it's all related, to be honest, folks. But looking at what they want to do with guys, I mean, as I said, I did a couple of interviews recently. I've got another one tomorrow, so you're going to be getting a few video clips this week, folks. But as I said in an interview recently, I wouldn't be surprised if they intend to crash Israel through this. One of the goals, I think, is to destroy Israel. You know, we've really got a lot of people seeing Israel for what it is now. There's been so much stuff come out, even though those videos I've had of those kids saying how great it is killing Palestinians, and yeah, I want to kill more of them, and they all need to die, and the babies are a target, and the women are a target, and children are a target, a little boy holding a chocolate bar is a target, because soon he'll be holding a Kalashnikov. Which kind of makes sense, because they're going to continue the occupation, and as I said, Hamas is not a group really, it's an ideology. But with everything that's going on, I mean, the world is totally up in arms against Israel. You've even got South Africa now going and charging them with war crimes. They're going to go in the International Criminal Court and try to have Israel charged with war crimes. Of course, Israel's saying it's all based on nothing. You know, the United States is saying it's all based on nothing. even while you can see clearly they're ethnically cleansing all of Gaza Strip, yeah, and killing so many people and levelling buildings, all of this is ethnic cleansing. Like I showed you on the last report, knocking down the monument of Arafat in West Bank, this is ethnic cleansing. You're destroying the culture of the country. Ethnic cleansing takes many forms. But like I said, I think they're planning on hanging Israel out to dry. We've seen everything that's been going on in Ukraine. I mean, this has all been about depopulation and money laundering. And depopulation on every level, both males and females. I've shown you videos of females at the front, terrified, all excited that they're going to the front, and then they're there and they're terrified, and then you see video of them dead in ditches, you know. So, depopulation, I think a lot of Jews are going to be moving to Ukraine. And they might even end up seeing a Palestinian state formed because of this. I mean, I think this has been one of the goals all along, is to, you know, get a Palestinian state formed. And you might see this happen because the world's going to be outraged at what Israel's done. So you might even see the formation of a Palestinian state. And then we've got the Ben-Gurion Canal. A lot of people have been saying, why aren't you talking about this? Well, I have actually talked about it before, folks, the Ben-Gurion Canal, which has been designed to replace the Suez Canal. Now, the Suez Canal is a huge source of income for Egypt. A lot of trade goes through the Suez Canal. If Suez Canal closes down, big trouble in the world trade. But if Israel can open the Ben-Gurion Canal, that will actually be a slightly shorter route than going through the Suez. So trade will happen quicker, and Israel will get to control that trade. It doesn't really control what goes through the Suez. It will get to take funding away from Egypt, impoverish them a little bit more, and it will funnel trade through Israel, through Palestine. It's speculation that this goes through the north of Gaza Strip. The Gazette map for it actually shows it going just above Gaza Strip, so it doesn't look like it's actually going to go through Gaza. But it would be an important port for the new Belt and Road initiative that Israel is going to be involved in with China. This whole Belt and Road thing that's been coming online, the social credit system and everything that's in place in China, they want to bring it into all of our countries. If they can create some sort of conflict, which is what they're really trying to do, and get everybody involved in a regional conflict, turn it into a world war, that's what Israel is really pushing to do. That's why one of the reasons I think also that it's being so brutal in Gaza, because it wants everybody to come on board with it, wants the Arab world to stand up and protect the people of Palestine, which will create a world war situation, because you get Russia and China involved, and America, and then Australia and England, and everybody's going to jump in, and it's going to be East against West. And I've wanted to do this for quite a while. But it wouldn't surprise me if Israel loses face completely through this. I mean, it's never going to get the support that it once had. It can't play the Holocaust card anymore. It can't play the anti-Semitic card anymore. It can't play any of these cards anymore. You can't call anti-Semitism and complain that about the Holocaust in World War II when you're actually Holocausting the people of Gaza yourself right now. They're doing worse than the Nazis ever did, and I don't even believe the official story of World War II anyway, so let's not even talk about that. But you're going to find a lot of them moving to Ukraine. When you look at the Belt and Road Initiative that China is putting in place, I keep forgetting this path is closed. But when you look at the Belt and Road Initiative that China is putting in place, two major players of it will be Israel, which will control a seaport through the canal, which will end up being the Ben-Gurion Canal. And there was talk about this like 2 years ago, that Israel was going to be a major seaport on the way with the new Belt and Road system that China's putting in place. And this is before they ever went into Gaza. This is before anyone even knew about the Ben-Gurion Canal plans. So they had it planned back then. I mean, because Israel isn't a seaport. It isn't somewhere that you go past with trade. I mean, you go through the Suez Canal, which is over Egypt. It's on the other side of the Sinai. You don't really go past Israel. But if they change the canal, put in the Ben-Gurion Canal, then it will become a major seaport along the way for the new Belt and Road system. And a lot of it's going to come through Ukraine, which is a major producer of food, especially grains. So you've had a lot of people leave Israel and go to Ukraine already. They're depopulating Ukraine. Zelensky's a Jew, and he's already offered them a safe haven, you know. They got to do all this shit and make it look believable to people, folks. That's why they do it the way they do. Looks like it was just this natural series of events that happened. No one was ever planning any of this. It's just the way it all happened because Russia invaded Ukraine and because Hamas invaded Israel. And this is just how it all ended up working out. It's all planned, folks. It's all staged. It's all theatre. The whole lot of it is theatre. They don't mind how many people they kill and how much land and property they destroy to get their objective through. But it's all theatrics. Most of it is theatrics. And that isn't to say that people aren't dying and Gaza isn't being destroyed, but it's still being done in such a way to tug on the heartstrings of the people. There's an owl carved into this offshoot of Bohemian Grove, eh, folks? Or maybe they just like owls. Interesting little carving. I like seeing carvings like this, like just in a random log and something carved into it like that. It's great, very creative. Something I love about Mexico, folks, is they find an old log and they carve it into something beautiful, you know? But anyway, if you get Israel in charge of what was once Ukraine and it becomes a new Jewish empire and you've got Israel in charge of the seaport, well, you can see where all this is leading. You can see why they'd be doing things the way they're doing it, folks. And you might find that the world is so outraged by what Israel has done to the Palestinians that a Palestinian state is formed and there's just a small Israeli seaport on the side. You never know, folks, you never know. I mean, if they can continue portraying the Palestinians as terrorists, maybe it won't. But I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that they're not. They're not terrorists. You know, everything Israel's been telling us is a lie, and I think that this exposing of the tunnel system might help that along a little bit. Now, like I said, everything with Israel is a projection. Freudian projection is what it is, folks. Every accusation is a confession with Israel. And it always has been. That's just the way it works with these people. Their whole claim that this tunnel system exists under Gaza, it was built by Hamas. We've already had, who was it, Edward Barak? Say, no, we built the tunnels under Al-Shifa Hospital.
It's already known for many years that they have in the bunkers that originally was built by Israeli constructors underneath Shifa, several tunnels, part of the system. Several others are under other hospitals or in other sensitive places.
Well, when you say it was built by Israeli engineers, did you misspeak?
No, no, somebody, you know, decades ago, we were running the place. So we held them. It was decades, many decades ago, probably four decades ago, that we helped them to build these bunkers in order to enable more space for the operation of the hospital within the very limited size of this compound.
And yeah, I wonder how many tunnels they built. Was it just under Al-Shifa Hospital? I mean, don't forget, Israel was in charge of Gaza Strip for a long time, from 1948 up to 2005. Israel occupied Gaza the same way it occupies West Bank. They built all the tunnel systems. I mean, they could have achieved a lot in that time, folks, from 1948 to 2005. It's a long time. You could build all sorts of stuff in there. And the fact that they've got all these tunnels there, it provides a perfect excuse they need to level Gaza. Saying we're going to relocate everyone, we're going to negotiate with the Arab countries so that they will take Palestinian refugees. Because we have to do that because they don't want to take any Palestinian refugees because they're all terrorists. It's not true, folks. They don't want to take any Palestinian refugees because they don't want to assist Israel in relocating people out of their rightful lands. And the Palestinians don't want to become refugees. They want to live on their land, you know. Of course, they're not allowed to because they're not allowed to defend itself. Israel has a right to defend itself, but of course, nobody else does. Funny how that works, folks. As you can see, things are coming along here in the secret garden. It's definitely coming along. It's still a lot of work to do, but it's definitely coming along. And that's a good thing to see. But yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty short report today, folks. Like I said, I've done a couple of interviews this week already. I've got another one tomorrow. I haven't got much on my list because I've already spoken about a lot of it in the interviews that I did. Something that I spoke about with the interview with Mary Am was And something that she brought to my attention, because I was talking about how I feel like we keep coming back and living the same life, and I think this is what deja vu is all about. She pointed out to me that deja vu is actually one of the side effects of the Pfizer vaccine. Isn't that remarkable, folks, that they would have that listed as a side effect of a vaccine? See, I was saying that deja vu, it's kind of showing you that you've done this before. You keep coming back, you keep going through the same path. You're not changing things. You're not changing your life. You're not changing what's in your heart. We're coming back and we're living the same life. We're doing the same shit, messing up the same places that we always do. We end up coming back and repeating the exercise because we don't learn. I think every life that we come here, we have the ability to actually leave the realm. We have the ability to get out, escape. And I also believe, I would suggest, as I've said many times, that we are all part of a single consciousness, the mind of God, if you will. We are all simply projected into this realm. So if one person finds their way through, there's a good chance we could free everybody else as well. Perhaps that's what some of us have already done. Perhaps we've found the way through. And then we come back here to try to bring that message to people so that they can find their way out as well. Being ultimately, it's going to be a personal soul choice, I would suggest. It's hard to figure it all out, but it's remarkable that deja vu happens. And as I said on that interview with Maryanne, when everything was stolen from me, and when I look at my life, I mean, I put myself in a position for all that shit to happen. I put myself in a position where I could fuck up completely and I could lose everything that I own and marry the wrong woman, all sorts of stuff. How are you, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just doing a video.
Oh, nice. I can see. Wonderful. Yeah. I can say to my homies watching your video?
You can.
I have my homies in Canada. What's up? Good to see you, bud.
You too, brother.
Cheers.
See all sorts of people coming to work on the place, folks. It's really good. A lot of people are coming together to try to repair this place. But what was I talking about? That's right, I mean, I put myself in a position. I married the wrong woman. I did everything wrong, really, when I look at my life, up to when I was about maybe 40 years old. I was a train wreck. My life was a train wreck in so many ways. I had so many opportunities to do things right, and I just didn't. I fucked up, you know, all the time. You know, smoking weed all the time, getting drunk, just living a superficial lifestyle as a rock and roll musician, and you know, I woke up to the fact that the world was all messed up by the time I was a kid, and by the time I got through high school, I'd just basically given up on it. And I thought, no, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to get stoned and join rock bands and live on the outside of society and watch the freak show. It wasn't until 9/11 happened that I actually thought, actually, this is serious. Maybe I need to actually step up and do something about it. And then I shifted onto another path. When all that happened and I lost all of my possessions, I mean, looking back on it, I can blame my wife, I can blame all the people that discarded me and stole from me and did all sorts of terrible things, but ultimately I had the sort of personality, I think, that attracted that. I attracted those problems. And I often wonder whether, you know, you talk about the triune being and, you know, all sorts of different soul connections and, you know, your soul body, your spirit body, your different higher versions of yourself. I think a lot of those higher versions of myself put myself into a position where I would fuck up completely, so I'd have no choice but to step onto this path. And when I stepped onto this path and started, you know, like I started speaking out and making videos and trying to change the world, using the knowledge that I'd gathered through life for something positive, rather than just, you know, for many years it was just like a spy novel. Knowing that there was this secret society behind everything, that everything was fake and everything was a fraud, and there was this whole control mechanism behind it that people couldn't see. It's kind of exciting to look at all this stuff, go down these conspiratorial rabbit holes. I mean, you'll find people that just watch InfoWars religiously. This is where they're trapped into this type of reality. But when I actually applied myself to it and started speaking out and started trying to do something positive to change the world, my life changed. And everything I'd done in my life up to that point gave me the skills to do what I'm doing now, like public speaking. You know, I can get up on the stage in front of 2,000 or 3,000 people. I don't have any problem at all getting up there and speaking to them. Most people would get very nervous. A lot of people would anyway. A lot of people fear public speaking more than anything. But I had, since I was like 16 or 17, been involved in rock and roll bands. So I'd been on hundreds of stages, thousands of stages, in front of thousands of people. I had no problem at all being in front of a crowd. I mean, you know, you get nervous to begin with. But after you've done it for a few years, it just becomes second nature to do this stuff. So, and then I joined the Game Clan because my wife wouldn't let me see my son. So the only way I could associate with him and play with him was to join a Game Clan. We'd both log onto our computers and we'd play games together. You know, and that taught me Photoshop, it taught me video editing, it taught all sorts of stuff to me. And I gathered all of these life skills along the way that I thought were completely unrelated. But then once I gathered everything that I needed to do what I'm doing now, the universe took everything away from me, and the only option I had left, apart from suicide, was to step onto this path and start speaking about what I know and sharing my knowledge with people. When I did that, all my deja vus stopped. I haven't had a deja vu since that time, since I made that decision and I stepped onto what I would suggest is my true path. It took me a long time to get there. I guess, you know, and even through all of it, I look at it all. Look at some of the suffering I had when I was a kid, you know. I had a terrible childhood. I had terribly bad things happen to me when I was a kid. Through my adult life, I lost everything I own a couple of times, had everything stolen once, and then my wife stole everything a second time. A lot of bad stuff happened to me, but when I look at it, I don't regret any of it. I'm glad it all happened to me because all of it is what made me who and what I am today. And I'm pretty happy with who I am today. I think I'm a good person. And I've never done any of this for profit or you know, I've never done any fundraisers. I've never monetized any of my accounts. I've always just trusted that Spirit will guide me. And if I'm doing the right thing, Spirit will look after me. And it's worked out. It's been that way. I mean, I haven't become rich out of it, but you know, I've always got enough just to get by. And that's really all I need, is just to be able to get by. So when I look at all this, it's kind of all been for a purpose. And like I said, I haven't had any deja vu since then. So I think there's really something to this, something to this whole concept that we've done this before. We go through these lives over and over again until we get it right. And I find it interesting that there is deja vu mentioned as a side effect to the Pfizer jab. You know, I've said it before that I think a lot of the people here aren't real people. They're already in the mainframe. Their souls were captured and put on a circuit board, and now they're just signals being projected out to biological avatars. It's like Westworld. People don't realize that they're not human. And that's why you can't wake so many of them up. Which doesn't mean you should love them any less, and doesn't mean they can't be saved either. You know, if we can shift the overall, like at least a decent portion of human consciousness, and charge the field with that energy. Well, the consciousness exists in the field, in the external field around you. If enough people can be in that positive energy and aware of themselves and aware of this test, this exam that we're going through here, and put this confident energy, this confidence in themselves, this integrity into the field, then we have a possibility of saving everybody, even the people that are trapped in the mainframe. But isn't it interesting? I keep going off on these tangents, folks, sorry. But isn't it interesting that deja vu would be mentioned as a side effect of the jab? You know, if you've had the jab, well, you're going to start remembering, okay, you did this before, you messed up, same as what you did last time, and you're in the mainframe. They got you into the mainframe before. I don't have any of that sort of feeling at all. Like, they never got my soul. It's not part of that system. It's not in the well of souls. But I wonder how many people are here that are in the well of souls, you know. Like I said, I think we have an opportunity to rescue them all. And I know I'm being probably grossly vague with all this, folks. I'm sort of, it's all just rattling around in my head and I'm trying to figure it all out. But I think that the fact that deja vu is listed as a side effect, it really suggests that what I'm saying is a reality. That's why we have deja vus, because we've lived this over and over again. But when we get to a point where the deja vu stops, it's because we've actually changed the path that we normally go down. Personally, I don't think, no matter how many lives I've lived, I think my soul and my consciousness is too resilient to have ever taken the jab in any other lives But, I mean, that doesn't say I wasn't killed off. Like, everybody was killed off. And you know, we just keep coming back because it's a collective. It's a collective consciousness. And if we haven't worked that out, well, we're going to come back. We're going to walk into the light or whatever. Yeah, personally, I don't even think that if your soul is awakened enough, you'll even have to make the choice not to walk into the light. I think that if you can wake yourself up enough and you can get connected enough and you can be spiritually aware enough and leave this realm with your soul intact, you might even just go back directly to source. And I think some of us do that, and I think some of us choose to come back here to try to save the rest of humanity, because, like I said, even those that are trapped in the mainframe can be saved. All we have to do is see the system for what it is and stop complying with our own slavery, stop complying with authority, or what we perceive to be authority. It's really people that have no authority, we should give no authority to, who've all abdicated their privilege to govern. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse until we stand up for ourselves and call things out for what they are. So I think there's a lot of that in there as well. And I'm probably babbling and rambling and raving. I'm not really quite sure what I'm saying because I'm just kind of running all through this in my head. But I think we're going to see some sort of a major outcome before the end of this year. I mean, 2025 next year, folks. 2025. That's been a foreboding year for a long time. And the next big one will be 2030 after that. And the next big one will be 2040. I wonder if I'll still be around for that one. It would be nice to be around. I'd like to see the end of the film, you know? So who knows? But I think this year is going to determine whether we remain in prison or whether we step into freedom. I think we have an opportunity for freedom here. I really do. With everything being exposed the way it is, you know, Israel being exposed, the tunnel system beneath New York, the controlling hand being exposed, all this crap that Biden's done, you know, the way they're trying to start World War III in the Middle East, and it's so obviously contrived. You know, I think they're clutching at straws and they're failing in what they're trying to do, folks. I really do. I mean, I think it's just not going as smoothly for them as they hoped and thought that it would. Too many people are waking up. Too many people just won't shut up about it. I mean, I certainly won't shut up about it. That's why I left Australia, folks. If I'd stayed in Australia, I surely would have been shut down by now. But I got out in time, and so I'm able to keep speaking. And a lot of other people, you find a lot of the major truthers don't live in Western countries anymore, folks. You've got people in Uruguay, people in Panama, people in Costa Rica, people speaking out all over the place that just left their home countries because it became too dangerous to be there. And had I not left when I did, I think I would have been shut down a couple of years ago. And for all the people who are still complaining about me leaving, get over yourselves. I mean, you guys would prefer me to have stayed there and died or be locked up for good so you could mention me occasionally the way you do with Julian Assange and other people. You know, like, you've got to look out for yourself, folks. You've got to be able to step onto whatever path the universe gives you to step on. Like I said, you've got to be able to face infinity without flinching. The knack of being able to face with serenity odds and circumstances that are not included in your calculations and simply do what you need to do, do what needs to be done in order to get yourself to the other side of whatever predicament it is that you're in. That's the path of the warrior, folks. The path of the warrior doesn't mean stand there and fight against an army you can't possibly defeat. No, you do what is wise. You put yourself in a position where you can continue the fight on your own terms. And as far as this fight goes, folks, my weapon is my voice. I'm a 66-year-old man. I'm kind of frail. You're not going to put me in a boxing ring with anyone. I'm not even going to try to stand up against a violent police force, folks. You know, I can say enough about them to bring them down and to help other people become aware of what's going on. And I firmly believe, I still believe, that we don't need violence. All we need is non-compliance. If they get violent with us, well, then we can respond with counter-violence. But we don't need to be the ones that instigate any violent activity towards anyone. All you've got to do is call things out for what they are. I mean, all the governments are invalid. They've rendered themselves invalid. Every crime on earth comes from government because of legislation they write, which outlaws so many things. And they put themselves above the law, parliamentary privilege, diplomatic immunity, all sorts of bullshit they think up so that we can't prosecute them for their crimes. It's ridiculous. None of it's valid. None of these people are valid anymore. That's a lot of the reason why I've put so much focus on what's going on in Gaza and Palestine, folks, because it shows our governments are invalid. They're supporting genocide. They're supporting ethnic cleansing. So how can you believe a word these people say? They're all invalid. Something else that happened, which I'll just mention while I thought of it as well, folks, being as how this is such a crazy year, there was an earthquake in Japan the other day as well, like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. This year, I'm pretty sure. Some pretty wild footage coming out of that. Sort of looked like the earth was breathing there. Bizarre stuff, folks. So what a year, and we're 10 days into 2024, and all of this stuff has happened. So imagine what it's going to be like for the rest of the year, this quickening that's happening, folks, and imagine the opportunity that it's giving us as well. Like I said, I think we're going to see some major results this year. Either they're going to win and lock us down, or we are going to see a mass awakening, and we're going to see a lot of people standing up, and they're just going to, their system's just going to crash and burn. And that's what I'm hoping will happen, and that's what I suggest will happen as well, folks. I think we got this. As long as people don't become complacent about it, I think we got it. I think we're going to get through. Yeah, so don't lose heart through all this, folks. I mean, ultimately, this is what you came here for. And if you weren't capable of getting through this and winning this test and passing this exam, then you wouldn't have come back. You wouldn't be here to begin with. Everybody who's here is here for a reason. Even the non-playing characters, even those people in the mainframe, they're here for a reason. And as I said, I believe we have the opportunity to save all of them. Now, if this truly is a collective consciousness, you know, everybody's simply a thought in the mind of God, then we have a way through this. And all we need is this belief in ourselves. I mean, this has been the big thing that the system has done to people. It's taken away their belief and confidence in themselves. Now, as I've said before, we don't grow up. We believe that we need parents for our whole lives. This is an opportunity to throw off those chains, folks. And I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. But just hold on to your hats, you know, because, I mean, for all this stuff to be going on just in the first 10 days, but the tunnel system, earthquake in Japan, aliens in the mall in Miami, the total genocide that's going on in Gaza Strip, the Epstein list being released, three politicians murdered here in Mexico in 1 week, so much stuff going on, folks, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We've got to do something about these people with small hats, though, and the control that they have exercised over the world. Hopefully the exposing of this tunnel system in New York will cause the penny to drop in a lot of people's minds. And they were literally coming out of the sewers, folks, to get away from the police that were raiding the Chabad headquarters. Yeah, coming out of the sewers, folks, underneath the paper stand, like a drain underneath the paper stand. Just got to move the paper stand and get into the tunnel system that way. Doing it to extend our property. Sure you are. All this sort of stuff might wake people up, folks, to the fact that the people with small hats don't have your best interests at heart. We've seen the way they think about Palestinians. We've seen the way they think about all Goyim folks, all people who are non-Jews. Yeah. They've said, that guy I had on there, that rabbi, saying that they're all idol worshippers. There's 6 billion idol worshippers on earth who all deserve to die. Interesting sort of stuff, folks. Interesting to know this is the mentality of most of these people. So I think all of this is coming out. All this is coming to light. And again, all we have to do is step away from it. Why do we believe these people have control over us anyway? It's only because the Holocaust, the whole hoax, people go, oh, these people are victims, we can't say anything nasty about them, if we do, we're anti-Semitic. And people's belief in the Bible, because the Bible was written by these people, it was mistranslated by King James, and somehow America believes that they have to protect Israel, even if the main objective of Israel is to destroy America. It's crazy. Perhaps that will change soon. I mean, sure, there's going to be brain-dead NPCs. There's going to be some people who you're not going to be able to change their minds no matter what. But I think the majority of people are sort of waking up to the fact that, hang on, we've been had. These people have been expelled from all these countries all these times for a reason. I even showed you the stuff they did with Germany. Like in 1941, it was a German scholar who put out a book which talked about exterminating the German people and through what they called the final solution. Again, everything is a projection, folks. They told us that's what Hitler did with the Jews in World War II. It was the final solution to get rid of the Jews. No, they were the ones who coined that term. But most of the Jews had already left Germany by that time anyway. Most of the Jews had already gone down to Palestine in 1933 in the transfer agreement. All the Jews got out. Even the claim that there were 6 million people who died in the Holocaust, there weren't 6 million Jews in all of Europe at the time this is claimed, folks. And it's the same claim they made after World War I, same claim they made in 1921, 1927. They made this claim a lot of times, folks. And it was only because they got hold of the media after World War II that they were able to get away from it in World War II. And as I've shown you on previous videos, I did a whole video, like an hour long or an hour and a half long, where I talked about Rhein-Wiesen-Lager, the real killing fields of Germany, where the estimated normal figures, the official figures, are 1.2 million Germans died there. The reality is that it's very likely as high as 11 million, possibly even 13 million Germans died in the Rhine Valley camps. To this day, you still can't plow the ground in the Rhine Valley in Germany, because if you do, you're going to be digging up bones, millions of bones, because there are millions of people buried there, all the Germans they killed after the war. So, yeah, a lot of this stuff has come to light. And the whole Holocaust narrative, I mean, you know, I think it was like 1960s before anyone was even talking about the Holocaust. You know, the advent of television, of course, folks. Television came to be in the 50s. And, you know, then we started seeing stories about the Holocaust of the Jews in World War II. Nobody really knew about it before then. Funny that. And there was no evidence. You know, they say, oh, we discovered all this stuff, you know, after the war. No, it's ridiculous. There's actually a really good book by a guy called Nick Colostrom. It's called Breaking the Spell. If you want to break the spell of the Holocaust over your mind or over your parents' mind or someone you know, buy them this book, Breaking the Spell. It shows how the whole Holocaust narrative is basically the triumph of propaganda and media spin over science and forensic evidence. And it's a very good book. Nick Colostrom, he was a university professor in England. He lost his tenure because the way it all happened, I mean, they sent him some plaster or something, and they just asked him to please analyze this plaster. And he said, well, it contains Zyklon D, and it contains typical levels, normal levels for delousing. And where's it come from? And they said, well, this comes from Auschwitz. And he went, oh, I didn't know that, you know. But because he'd said that, it was just typical levels for delousing, suddenly he lost his tenure, because he was supposed to say, oh, no, this contains concentrated this and concentrated that, and this is proof of the Holocaust. They gave him the test to do without even telling him where it came from. Just tell me the levels of Zyklon D in this plaster, because it leaves a blue stain. And that's what he said, and he lost his tenure because of it, and he couldn't figure out why. What, you're sacking me from my job that I've had here for years and years simply because I analysed this plaster and didn't give you the results that you wanted? And then he started looking into the Holocaust, and then he wrote his book, Breaking the Spell. Yeah? And if they hadn't sacked him, if they'd simply told him, you know, what they were doing, well, maybe they would have got the answer that they wanted. But because they sacked him, he went through and started really investigating it, and then he wrote that book and tried to get the message out to the world. So yeah, it's a small book, folks. I recommend that you go and get it. You'll probably find it on Amazon or whatever. And no, I'm not getting any kickbacks from this, and Nick hasn't contacted me and asked me to promote his book. I haven't actually spoken to him for years. I was going to have him on an interview with him like 10 years ago, and I still haven't. So yeah, maybe not 10 years ago, but probably 8 years ago. Hey, Puss Cat, a ginger cat here, come to say hello. Look at this little girl. He's a little scared, doesn't know me. Okay, we've got a ginger cat at home as well. We've got 3 cats at home at the moment, folks. But anyway, getting off topic. But you go check out Breaking the Spell. And I think that's about all I've got to say. I wanted to try to keep this short, and it's already come up to almost an hour, so I'll probably get going, folks. Again, this is where an Acapulco is going to be held, and do come to an Acapulco this year. We're still trying to work out if we can open some sort of a bar, some sort of a place where people can come and hang out after the event. We'll probably get something happening. It won't be what it was last year. I'm not going to be running it, so I'm actually going to have time to talk to people this year. I was exhausted and run down and very quite unwell for the whole conference last year, folks. Just too run down, I think. Just too much stuff going on, too much stuff on my mind, and just not enough hours in the day. I wasn't sleeping. Been having a real trouble sleeping again lately. They put up a new 5G tower near my house. I haven't slept well for 2 weeks since they put this tower in, so it's kind of crazy. But yeah, do come to an Acapulco if you're thinking of it. Again, you can use my last name, Egan, as a coupon, and you're going to get yourself a 10% discount on your Acapulco ticket. The shape of this bamboo, folks, from this this hurricane. It's just crazy, really, what's going on in all of Acapulco. But yeah, you can use my last name, Egan, I-G-A-N, as a coupon and get yourself a 10% discount on your ticket to an Acapulco, which is taking place on the 11th of January to the 16th. And then I think there is a Gorofoco is happening after that, which will go on for another 5 or 6 days. And we'll have some sort of a meeting place put together after it as well. And I will actually have time to speak to people. And it's going to be great. It's going to be the 10th anniversary of an Acapulco. Amazingly, it's gone for 10 years. And they never shut down either. Through the whole scamdemic, they never stopped. They're probably the only conference that kept going and didn't shut down, didn't listen to all the bullshit. I didn't make it 1 year. I didn't make it at 2020 because I broke my foot, which was a real dread. I broke my foot like 3 days before I was supposed to fly over here. I'm thinking, oh, I'll come over with a broken foot. I'll be good. And no, you're not. It doesn't work that way. But but I'm here now, and I'll look forward to seeing you if you come as well. People should start arriving about the beginning of February. There's plenty of accommodation in town as well. I can't recommend where you should contact or who you should contact. Perhaps if you even go onto Telegram and go onto the Acapulco chat forum on Telegram. I think there's a group. If you just go and look, go into Telegram and search for Acapulco, I think you'll find a group there. And you'll probably just be able to talk to those people, and they'll recommend accommodation and where you can get rooms and how much it's going to be and blah, blah, blah. You might even be able to get people you can find share houses or whatever, you know. That'd be a good thing. Like, just rent a house for 2 weeks and get 4 or 5 people to come in it with you. You get your own bedroom and you can get a cheap place for a couple of weeks. That could be a way to do it as well. But I'm sure there's going to be plenty of accommodation around, folks. I wouldn't worry about that. And it's going to be a good event. They're really working hard to fix this place up. And as you can see, like, all sorts of people are chipping in. That was Vadim that came and said hello before. He's from Europe. He was here for the event last year. He was very helpful at the bar that I was at. He'd come in and sweep the floor sometimes in the morning and stuff like that. Lovely guy. But it's going to be a great event, folks, so do come along for that. Again, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. You people are the only thing that keeps me going. I could use a bit of help this month too, folks, if anyone can afford to chip in. And thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email. As you can see, I'm actually responding to some interview requests now as well. I've had so many people request interviews over the last year, and so many of them I haven't even responded to. I've got like 30 or 40 things pinned in my Hotmail box. A lot of Hotmail stuff doesn't come through either, folks. Like, I've got a new address now. If you go onto thecrowhouse.com and you start looking on the contact page, you'll see there's a new Proton Mail address that you can email me at. I wouldn't use the Hotmail address because it keeps messing up. People say, I've sent you all these emails, and I check through there and I don't have any emails from them. Now, you get to a point where your folder fills up and they just don't let you get any more email. And then, you know, every year or so they send you a message saying your mailbox is full, you need to delete everything that it's over a year old or 2 years old or whatever. And I do that, and so I lose so many old emails. Even the forums crashed the other day, and I couldn't contact the guy who set the forums up for me because I don't have his email anymore, because, you know, like 6 months ago I had to delete every email that was over a year old. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. But I have started to respond to a lot of interview requests and stuff, so I'm trying to get on top of those. Like I said, I've got so many that I haven't even responded to. And I really apologize to people. It isn't that I dislike you or that I'm stuck in my ego or anything like that. It's just daunting. You know, I go to my Hotmail account, I've got over 8,000 emails in there. Actually, I've got less now. I've got 7,500 because I've actually gone through a whole bunch of them. But, you know, still a lot of emails in my Hotmail box. And now I've got my Proton Mail is the one that I mainly use. I've still got probably 20 or 30 emails in there I've got to catch up with as well. Well, I am doing a few interviews, and so, yeah, if you want to resend a request, now would be the time to do it. I think it's important to get the word out as much as possible this year. And so I'm just going to be going hell for leather and doing as much as I can to continue speaking and to get the word out to people. I'll try to do a lot more video reports than I have been doing, and I will try to do more interviews than I have been doing. I mean, I really haven't been doing hardly any interviews at all for the last 12 months, so I'm going to try to get on top of that this year. So, yeah, now's the time. Hola.
Hello.
So anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Again, thank you to anybody who's ever sent any kind words to me. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a donation to the Crow House. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody out there on the front line speaking out and working to make a difference. Thank you to the people coming here to the Secret Garden to help clean this place up. But all the people that are speaking out, like I did an interview the other day with a Hungarian station, I think I mentioned to you. Great to see this stuff happening as well, folks. People from all walks of life in all countries are seeing the need for them to stand up and make their voices heard. You know, we are in a state of clear and present danger, but it also is a time where we are in, you know, we're experiencing the greatest opportunity for freedom that we've ever had. You know, if people can really pull off the blinkers and look at what's going on here and realize we don't even need violence, all we need is to step into our own personal power, then we got this. As I often said, folks, if people just had that epiphany, shit, I've got value. We could change the world in a day. But people always look for leaders and stuff, you know. It's still people are looking for leaders. Really, you've got to inspire yourself and empower yourself to lead yourself. It's a lot of what Gaza's been about, folks. As I've often said, Palestine is the greatest moral dilemma in the world today. And if we do not face ourselves and look into our hearts enough to heal this problem, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And we're seeing what they're capable of and what they're prepared to do, folks. So a huge opportunity for freedom. And all we have to do is step up to the plate and believe in ourselves. I mean, look at what I've managed to do. Look at the people that I've reached. I've reached millions of people over the years. On my old YouTube channel, when it got deleted back in 2020, I had 240,000 subscribers. I had over 21 or 26 million video views. I've reached millions and millions of people, folks. And I'm just a social misfit. Single parent family, lived on the outside of society most of my life. I'm nothing special at all, and I'm living proof that you don't have to be somebody to make a difference. You just got to be prepared to speak, be prepared to believe in yourself and step into your own power, and you can change the world. You can make a difference. I've made a huge difference to so many people, and you can do the same thing. Just put your focus on your heart and on getting the message out to people. Don't believe the press they write about you. Don't believe the stories people write about you. Don't believe that you're great, that you're some guru or any of this sort of stuff. Just believe in yourself. Believe in your own soul. Believe in your own power. And just speak your truth. And you'll be surprised at how many people you can reach and how the universe will guide you through on that path. We're in a time of great change, folks, and that change is only going to come from us. So anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now because I'm about to run out of battery anyway. This is a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. And I will speak to you again soon, folks. Please take very good care until then. And again, I'll look forward to speaking to those who are going to come at an Acapulco this year, which is happening in 1 month from now. It's January 10th now. I think January or February 11th, the conference starts. So that's about 30 days from now. So exciting times, folks. I look forward to speaking to you then. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.
Hello, nice to meet you. Do you live here?
Yes.
With your family?
No, I live alone. Sorry, who?
Oh, that's even easier. This is my house.
What?
Sorry, my English is not very good. Is this Bath?
Yes. See?
Is Bath a Roman city?
I see. You're joking. It's a lovely joke. Because you're Italian, you think that you own this place because...
No, there is no joke. The Romans occupied England in the 5th century, so anyone of Roman descent has an historic claim to this land. Now leave, my family is waiting outside.
Oh my God, you're serious?
Yes, my God Jupiter proclaimed it. So now pack up and peace off, pretty boy.
Your English sounds pretty good to me. Listen. You can't just turn up to someone's house, evict them, and then move in because you think you're the descendants of someone who lived here thousands of years ago. You know that's ridiculous, right?
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah!
Hey guys, come in! Auntie Jupiterite.
Thank you.